We sang the song, and it sounded good. It won't be very long. Get ready for that day. That's wisdom. We're glad that God has watched over us, blessed us to come together again at the place of worship, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're delighted to see all of you who've come. Visitors, we're delighted to have you to come. And as you see the worship, hear the worship, what goes on in the worship, feel free to ask questions, because we are worshiping God and we are endeavoring to do it biblically. What thus saith the Word of God. And according to your Bible and mine, Jesus chose 12 apostles, 12 men, to work with Him. He came down from glory, sent by His Father, that He might pave the way for God to bring us back in favor with Him. Because God still wants us to be with Him in glory forever. Isn't that amazing? There was only two people that God had created on planet Earth. And God gave them simple instructions. And before He gave them the instructions, He made a whole lot of trees for them to eat from. Put them in a beautiful palace grounds. And His only command regarding their activity in eating, He says, you can eat of every tree in the garden, except that one right over there. Of all that God had done for them, beautiful place, why not obey Him? You can never grow hungry with all that God has blessed you to have, all the trees that you can eat from. Just one. Let me read Revelation chapter 12, I believe it is. God, there was a war going on in heaven. And guess who was there? Satan. But he was put out. And whomever was with him was put out, if they weren't killed. Satan comes along and says, and talked to his wife, and encouraged her and shared with her that it's not a bad thing. Help yourself. Help yourself. She listened to Satan, ate of the fruit, and gave some to her husband. See? Nothing happened to me. Help yourself. They disobeyed God. Death came upon every man, woman, boy, and girl, from thenceforward. But God, being the loving God, He sent His Son to give us a way back home and to favor with Him. Jesus was sent down by his Father from glory. That's why we're here, worshiping God today. Because God required a suitable vessel to die, that we might have a way back home, a way back into a relationship with God. All because we were hard-headed, believing not what God had said. May I encourage each and every one of you, take the time to get to know, not think, to take time to know, to study the Word of God. God had one begotten Son. One. And he sacrificed his Son. Not just to come to stay a week or a month. He stayed down here on planet Earth 33 years. Walked among mankind. Suffered as mankind. And God had him to do that all for us. Because God so loved. Notice the text. For God so loved what? The world. We know he loved his begotten Son, but God so loved the world. He loved us when we were sinners. How much more so when we walking with the Lord? Jesus chose 12 months. You say, when are you going to start preaching? What do you think I'm doing now? Not the one on this plate here. But I want us to understand, if nothing else, God does not accept second guessing of his commandments and then doing it our way. We have a church here, a church here, and you go three blocks and you pass two church buildings. When Jesus met with his disciples for the last time on planet Earth, for the last time, let's go, come. Acts chapter 1 with me. And if you want a title for this afternoon, the lesson, the title on my paper is "How Did Jesus Make It Back to Heaven?" But in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, for God so loved the world. John, what did I ask you to come to? John, Acts. Got so many scriptures buzzing around up here. Jesus came to his apostles. Well, watch what he says. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And this is his last day on planet Earth. And he's meeting with his apostles. We have seen a church here and a church there so long. All of our life we see plenty of church buildings. Plenty of churches. And honest and sincere people, many of them, actually believe that God is pleased with that particular church. And his Son never says a thing about it. God never says a thing about the church. Jesus came to earth to establish his church. His church. Amen. His church. One church. Amen. Jesus is meeting with his apostles for the last time on planet earth in Acts chapter 1. You got a minute? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, hath had given commandments. Did you read that? Jesus had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, if he just wanted them to preach anything they wanted to preach, why would he give them commandments? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or after his death, burial, and resurrection, by many infallible, undeniable proofs, being seen of them 40 days, more than 30, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly did what? Baptize with water, but you shall be baptized what? With the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now or not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, or asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Are we going back to the old practice? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hands, or in his own power. But you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld or was looking and listening, they saw Jesus being taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, that must have been some kind of a scene. Have mercy. To see a human being, and you've never seen a human being just being a human being and not on some kind of vehicle, to get up off the ground. No vehicle. And the cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Looked like God sent some folk down from glory. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus has gone on back to glory and told them, you all go to Jerusalem and wait there until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's going to guide you into all truth and bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. Now that's in Acts chapter 1. When we get to Acts chapter 2, watch the last verse. Now check the last verse in Acts chapter 1. Check the last verse in Acts chapter 1. You see it? These all continue. I believe it's verse 14, isn't it? These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Wait a minute. I want to hear. When they did get to Jerusalem, they chose someone to take Judas's place because Judas had committed suicide. He was one of the apostles and was numbered with the apostles. Let's go down to verse 26. They're making a decision about the taking of Judas' place. Someone taking Judas' place. Once that was done, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. So Matthias took Judas' place, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they're back to how many? They're back to 12. Now watch verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost, the Jewish holiday, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all on one accord in one place, no bickering, no arguing. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues, cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak with other tongues. And what's after that? As the Spirit gave them utterance, or as the Spirit gave them the word. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confused and confounded, because that every man heard them speak in what? His own language. This is the first time that the gospel is being preached on planet Earth. And it's being preached by the apostles, who are guided by the Holy Spirit, giving them the words to say. First sermon on planet Earth, all the apostles, thousands are in Jerusalem because it's a Jewish holiday. And the apostles are preaching. And as the words come out from them, the people that hear it, they hear it in their native language. Peter comes to a point, because he had been given the privilege in Matthew chapter 16 in about verse 18 or 19. He was given the privilege by Jesus Christ then, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, that he would preach the first gospel sermon in completeness that is to be preached on planet Earth. And this is the occasion. So look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and listen or hearken unto my words. These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day. Seeing it is just the third hour of the day. They're not drunk. Why? It's just that's the third out of an hour of the day. The liquor show is not open. So they can't be drunk. But this is that. Which was spoken by the prophet Joel, etc., etc., etc. And he continues his speech to that motley crowd. First gospel sermon. What? Come with me to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, let Jews everywhere know for sure, know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified 30 days ago, both Lord and Christ. You still there? You still with me? Now watch this. Now when the crowd heard this, you're talking about thousands of people, and God is blessing them to hear this man speak. Now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked or shocked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We have committed a tremendous sin. We've killed the Jesus that our parents were looking for. We killed the Jesus that we were looking for. And he was right here and we killed him. Now when they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter is preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because now he's the chief spokesman instead of the other 11. This is a good time. If prayer has anything to do with salvation, Peter, tell them to pray and ask God to forgive them. So our question now is, they are pricked. They are convinced that they are sinners. They want to know, what shall we do? Well, let's look at the text. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Hello. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. And be what? Baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he didn't stop preaching. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked or untoward generation. Verse 41. And then we'll go to our next sermon. Peace, peace. Did you see verse 41? Then they. What they? They that gladly received his message were baptized. And the same day that were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. And after they were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Look at the last verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved, or such as should be saved. Prayer has nothing to do with becoming a child of God. God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. He hears the prayers of the righteous, not the unrighteous. Are you all here? Make your calling and election sure, and your sermon shorter. Are you still on the line? Do you still understand? This is the beginning. We have just read the beginning of the Church of Christ on planet Earth. Yes, sir. The one church. The apostles have just been baptized with the Holy Spirit to speak God's word as the Spirit gives them the word. Yes, sir. Preaching. Peter is preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. He never says anything about denominational churches. One church. Because Jesus died for one church. Amen. His Father sent him down here. His Father wants one church preached on planet Earth. And he wants us to hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. Hear, believe, repent, be godly sorrowful for your sins, acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. A church of Christ meets here on a regular basis. And you feel free, you can feel free to ask questions. Any questions you ask regarding what thus saith the Word of God and salvation, we'll be glad to come together, sit down and study the Word of God together. Yes, sir. Yes. But once you're baptized, now we must still obey the Word of God as to how He wants us to conduct ourselves as His children. And not to forsake the worship. Not to forsake the worship is one of God's mandates. Amen. Now, the other sermon. Let's see now, how can I do this? How did Jesus make it back to heaven? So can we. In the book of John, chapter 16, and verse 28, I came down from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world. Did I give you the text? And go to the Father. If he had disobeyed, how did he go back to the Father? He established one church. How did Jesus make it back to heaven? And how do we make it to heaven? If you're interested in going to heaven, you know there are only two places to go in eternity. And both of them start with an H. And if you can spell it quick, hurry to go there. If you can take your time and spell it, and you want a whole lot of words, you can do that too. But you won't enjoy it. How did Jesus make it back to heaven, and how do we make it to heaven? If you're interested in going where he went, note carefully the answer of the one who has made the round trip. He has made the round trip. Came down, went back. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, he gives us the definition of faith and examples of those who manifested faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. Faith is the title deed of good things to come. Ain't that good news? I want to encourage you to read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We have a volume of individuals who live the life by faith. Even under dire circumstances and even death. The Bible says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch was translated and did not see death. Noah prepared an ark. Abraham offered up Isaac. Sarah blessed both sons. Joseph dying mentioned the departing of the children of Israel. Moses forsook Egypt. All those who followed the Father's instructions. So the question is, what was Jesus' mission? Did he know why he was sent by his Father? I share with you, Jesus was well informed. He knew exactly why he had come to sent to earth and why he came. John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Not to do mine own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. So it is with everyone who obeys the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. That's in John chapter 6, verse 40. Also, that was 39, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, S-O-N, and believeth on the Son, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that something? Everybody wants to, that have good sense, wants everlasting life. But only he who gives everlasting life can bless you to have everlasting life. Amen. Therefore, we must consistently consult with he who has that power. Yes, sir. Not just with anything or anybody. Yes, sir. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing or rightly handling the word of truth. Do you know Do you know why? For those of you who are in the Church of Christ, do you know why you obeyed the gospel? John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall do what? It's going to face you at the final roundup of human affairs. The same shall judge you in the last day. God has given us his Bible, which is his word, and this is what's going to judge us in the last day. Matthew chapter 28. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What I should say, are you there? And what I should speak. And I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, that's what I say. That's it. Check it out. So I speak. And as a result of speaking, as a result of doing what his Father instructed him to do, one day, he went on back to glory. How did he go back to glory? Because he did what the Father said. He was able to go. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment. What I should say, what I should speak. God has given us commandment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. We are being watched. Now I see you when you come to the building. You see me when I come to the building. But when we scatter, for the most part, we don't see each other. We don't know what each other's doing. We must do the Father's will because his eye is everywhere. Everywhere. And aren't you amazed from time to time just to look up at the sky and see the sky changing? And look up there in the evening and see, just can barely see the stars coming out. And at night you can see them. All of that going on. We're just amazed about seeing a flying airplane. Let alone the stars that stay up there. The sun that's... Our men who study that kind of thing tell us how far they believe the sun is. But even if it was next door, we couldn't get to it. We'd burn up before we got there. The important thing is to know the will of the Father for our lives on planet Earth. Jesus knew why he was sent to planet Earth. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment what I should say, what I should speak. Isn't that something? But seek you first the kingdom of God. We are being watched. Now, when we leave here and scatter, you don't see me and I don't see you. But guess what? God knows when you stay out of Bible class because you want to watch the football game. He knows. He sees you. He can see all the way from glory. We are being watched. The heroes of the past, as mentioned earlier, stand by watching anxiously to see what? to see how God's people will act. Put a note on your notes, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, hello, let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. This event calls to mind the image of an Olympic contest. Stadium is filled with past generations. I'm going to Hebrews 12 now, 1, verse 1. That's what this is about. The stadium is filled with past generations. And the generations now living is on the field, which is us. Since we have such a distinguished cloud of witnesses, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, read Hebrews 12, 1. Let us manifest distinction, obedience, as they did. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, example after example of those who knew the word of God and obeyed the word of God, follow their example so that we will be able to make it to heaven. Well, I have not spoken unto myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Wrapping up, let us run with perseverance. Let us know the will of God, obey the will of God, and heaven is a surety for us. We have such a wonderful, distinguished crowd watching us, according to Hebrews. Distinguished crowd watching us. Those who've made it, glorifying God. What we want to hear, what you want to hear, and what I want to hear at the final roundup of human affairs. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Young people, do the right thing, because the right thing is always right to do. Amen. Grown folks, same statement. Do the right thing. Let us run with patience. Let us run this gospel race with perseverance. There are witnesses watching us, according to the book of Hebrews. And they want us to follow their example, and so does God. There remains also the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came down and he went back. He made it back because he obeyed the instructions and the commandments of his heavenly Father. The example of Jesus Christ, he got all the motivation that he needed. His motivation was the joy. You know where I'm going, don't you? His motivation was the joy of pleasing his heavenly Father, doing his Father's will. He stayed focused on his Father and what his Father would have him to do. Stay focused on who you are. And the next statement is what? Whose you are. Stay focused on who you are and whose you are. He stayed focused He's our example. He stayed focused on his goal. What's your goal? What is your goal? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Plenty of churches, but the Church of Christ. Why the Church of Christ? Stay focused. Jesus stayed focused on what he had to do and not on the challenges that he had to face. He endured the cross, despising the shame, won the victory. How did he make it back? He endured and did the Father's will. Now he sits at the right hand of his Father in glory land. Anybody here? Anybody here still awake and want to go to glory land? My note says conclusion. You say, whew. He stayed focused on his Father's will. Wherefore we, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, let us remain steadfast. Let us remain unmovable. Let us remain always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Hebrews chapter 10. Where do you stand this morning? You don't just come to worship just to come to worship, to have somewhere to go. There are a lot of places to go. There's a reason. Because you know the Lord. And you want to know him better. And you want to do his will. Take the time to study the Word of God for yourself. And then after knowing it, do it regardless. Regardless. God will not accept excuses for non-performance. Irrespective of what they might be, he doesn't respect excuses. You see what his son, he could have stopped what his son was, he could have stopped those people from killing his son. He's God. But that was the price that had to be paid that we might have hope of redemption and eternal salvation. Now that you know that there are two places, you know you're not going to live forever here on planet Earth. You're going to live somewhere forever, but not here on planet Earth. The day is going to come when God is going to call us off the scene. And we go into eternity. And Revelation chapter 20, it tells us about the day when he calls us forth. Call us forth. From wherever he has us. We know where the body is, but we don't know where a person is. He calls us forth to stand at the judgment. Our record, Revelation 20 says, our record, he's going to have it before him. And those who have followed him, obeyed him, come. I have a mansion waiting for you. Oh, it's amazing how they begin to, in the book of Revelation, tell you about how beautiful it is up there in heaven, those last chapters. Makes you want to go. Live the life, and you can go there forever. Never be sick. Never be sad. Never have a headache.
stomach ache and all the other kind of aches. Never. Paradise in glory land. The only other place, if that sounds too pretty for you, there is, God gives you an option. If you don't want to come here, I got another place right over yonder. And I'm going to let you live over there. You're going to live either way. I'm going to let you live over there if that's where you want to go. And you speak to me. You speak to me. But let me put it in past tense. You spoke to me during your journey on earth. You let me know ahead of time that you didn't want to live with me. So I prepared. I didn't want to destroy you. I prepared a place for you. You don't have to live with me. And it's already ready. And no rent is charged. It's just you must stay there. Forever. Forever. Don't make the mistake of putting anything or anybody ahead of God. You know, I would obey this gospel, but the family that's been in this religion over here so long, I just hate to leave it. You hate to leave that the apostles didn't establish, and go into eternity. You must love to go into hell. Face it. Love the Lord. Look what he gave for us. And what you're talking about is minuscule compared to what he gave. He sent his only begotten son for 33 years for us. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. What do you mean repent of my sins? Be godly sorrowful for the sinful life you lived to this point. Acknowledge Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin that you have ever committed. Isn't that something? God don't just pick out the sins that I'll save you from. You've lived of, did things that was contrary to my will. And we'll baptize you. The baptistry is ready. Your garment's ready. The baptizer is ready. But are you ready to give your life to Christ? Don't do it for appearance. Give it because you believe, receive, and you have received the understanding of what it's all about and that how God wants to save you. If you're here, you're in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ, but you have not been faithful and living the life that he has called you into his church to live. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And ask the church to pray for your forgiveness. If you're here by the disposition, don't play with God. I'm just a preacher. I'm just bringing his message. You come as we together stand. Come on.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.